Good morning. Welcome to Bethany United Methodist Church live streaming worship this morning. Wish we could all be together, but that's not going to happen this morning or next Sunday either. So glad you are here with us. If you have, we'll have some prayer time after the message. And if you have a prayer concern, please type it into the comments. And we'll incorporate that into our prayer time, which not oddly enough, but that is what our message in our scripture is about this morning, is about prayer. So I want to start by reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, verses 1 through 18. So Jesus has been teaching his followers, and he says, "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we have heard your words as we consider what it is to practice our spiritual disciplines. Lord, help us to discover how we may draw close to you. Keep us near, and help my words be your words. In the name of Christ I pray. Amen. Well, it's been a strange week. Probably for all of us, I'm just stating the obvious, naming the elephant in the room, which makes me, thinking of big animals, makes me think of a story. A pastor went out west to go visit some national parks, and he was out hiking one day, and he heard some rustling in the bushes, and a huge grizzly bear came charging out of the underbrush and running straight at him. And so he remembered reading that grizzly bears can't climb trees. So he quickly shimmied up the nearest tree, got up as high as he could, but the grizzly bear just kept coming, and it stood at the base of this tree, which wasn't very sturdy, and it started to rock the tree. And not knowing what else to do, the minister began to pray as fast as he could, and so he he's shouted out to God, and he said, "Lord, please make this bear a Christian." And all of a sudden, the bear stopped and looked upward, and the minister thought, "Oh, it's working." His joy was confirmed as the bear put its paws together and said, "Dear God, please bless this food which I am about to eat. Amen." Well, I don't know if prayers can stop wild grizzly bears or make them say their prayers, but this has been a peculiar week. Many of us have been sheltering in place or practicing social distancing. Some folks have jobs that are critical and they need to go in to work, even though they might be feeling some fear and anxiety. Others are not able to go into work or are facing the challenges of telecommuting, working away from the office. And all of these things can make us feel more isolated, more out of control. And I'm working off the fake it till you make it principle. I'm acting like I can cope with all of this and deal with all the changes until I am actually feeling like I'm doing it. But like probably many of you, you know, the isolation and the disruption is having effects that I wasn't totally expecting. I knew that not being able to go to the gym or go to yoga classes would be difficult, but I hadn't realized how much a part of my routine that has been for the last 6 years. You know, practicing yoga kind of calms me through the deep breathing, helps me center, helps me relieve stress, releases endorphins, keeps me from feeling a lot of aches and pains. And yoga at home has just not been going well. There's just a lot of interruptions, many of which come from my husband, who's not trying to throw me off, but yeah, anyway. So I just am trying to remember, deep breath in, deep breath out, it will be okay. And I'm guessing that many of you have been throwing off of your rhythm, of your routine as well. And for some people, I don't know if there are kids who are home from school who are saying, "Yeah, this is great." And in some ways, maybe it is. And in some ways, maybe it isn't. A while back, I was reading a book about the origins of the English language, which had a whole section on its Scandinavian beginnings, which led to some sections on Vikings, which is how I discovered that Viking kings had the best names. Names like Ivar the Boneless, Harald Bluetooth, Sigurd Snake in the Eye, Ragnar Shaggy Breeches, and Harald Finehair. Now, that last one, Harald Finehair, or really it could be translated as Harald Beautiful Hair, was the legendary king of Norway who united many smaller kingdoms. So he was considered the first king of Norway. And the story goes that while he was king, some of his people fled Norway because they were facing high taxes, slavery, and death. So these people feared the wrath of Harald Finehair so much that they risked a journey of 900 miles across the North Atlantic Sea in small open-hulled boats. And so they fled, not entirely knowing where it was they would end up. They didn't have maps. They didn't have any navigational tools. And they ended up in Iceland. Now, Iceland was not the most welcoming land. It sits between the North American and Eurasian Teutonic plates, which are slowly moving apart at about an inch, a little over an inch a year, which doesn't sound like much, but the result of that is that in Iceland, they have an average of 500 small earthquakes a week. So it's not the most stable place. And then there are all the other things that they have in Iceland as a result of this movement, that they have live volcanoes, they have geysers, they have hot springs. This island moves and breathes. And this, it's not weather-wise the most hospitable place either. Their warmest month is July, when it gets up to an average temperature of about 50 degrees. Well, I was reading a story that Katie Hamill, who's a BBC reporter, wrote about her trip to Iceland. She and her husband were up visiting the remote West Fjords in a camper that they had rented. And just to give you an idea of how isolated the West Fjord area of the country is, it is the least populated area in Iceland, which is the most sparsely populated nation in the world. So they had the roads pretty much to themselves as they were driving around West Fjord, and their camper stalled. They were a little concerned, but they got it up and going again, and then it stalled twice more as they made the 200-mile trip to a town called, and I'm going to pronounce this incorrectly, but I'm going to give it a try, Ísafjörður. Now, when they got there, this is sort of the capital of that area, has about, I think, 2,000 people there. They called the repair place, and when they got hold of them, they said, well, our mechanic is away for the week, so I'm sorry, we don't have anyone to repair your camper to look at it. And then the man on the phone told her, Theta Redist. And Theta Redist does not mean, sorry, I'm not paid enough to care about your troubles. It doesn't mean, try not to get stranded in the middle of nowhere. Theta Redist means, it'll all work out in the end. And if Iceland had an official slogan, apparently this would be it, Theta Redist. So it seems like an odd saying for an island where the elements are so harsh that in the past often things did not seem to work out, with volcanoes erupting and storms at sea and avalanches. It seems like a place where things often did not work out. In 1783, a volcano erupted and killed 20% of the population and 80% of the sheep, which were a vital food source in Iceland. And there have been storms that sank the open rowboats that they use for fishing. And while Iceland is now a modern country with Wi-Fi and all kinds of amenities, 90 years ago, 50% of the population lived in turf houses and were a society of farmers and fishermen. So the seasons and the harsh conditions had almost complete control over their lives. So centuries of living on an island in the North Atlantic in the midst of volcanoes and glaciers and fjords might give a person an attitude of Theta Redist. It will all work out in the end, because sometimes you can't do anything about what's going on. And I sort of feel like that's where I am today. I can't control what's going on, but I hope that it will all work out in the end. In our scripture today, Jesus expects those he's instructing that they are doing works of piety, or as we might say today, keeping spiritual disciplines. He's assuming that they are praying and fasting and giving alms. And he points out that if we're not careful when we do these things, we can it can become a performance, not something that we do because we're trying to connect with God, but something that we do because we think we have to, or we think it makes us look like good Christians, or we need to show people what good Christians we are. And I will say that even sometimes, you know, we can have some performance anxiety. I know that praying out loud for some folks will definitely contribute to some anxiety. Put me in a room with 9 or 10 preachers, and I really don't want to be asked to spontaneously pray out loud because I want some time to collect my thoughts and make sure I'm not going to say something stupid while I pray. Which makes me think that, oh, this is becoming not about my connection with God. This is becoming about me and how I look to other people. It becomes a kind of performance. And so we need to rethink that. I think Jesus is saying and say, you know, sometimes you just have to go away by yourself and have that quiet communion and try to connect with God. A few Christmases ago, I received a book of comic strips titled Coffee with Jesus. And in the comic strip, Jesus wears a suit and tie, and he has coffee with a collection of characters who are sometimes a little confused about how to live out their faith. In a strip titled Thanks, Jesus is having coffee with Lisa, and Lisa says, "Sometimes when I'm praying and I get to the thanks part of my prayers, I just start reciting stuff I know I'm supposed to be thankful for, Jesus." And Jesus says, "Perhaps you are taking those things for granted." And Lisa asks, "How do I not do that?" And cartoon Jesus replies, "Imagine losing them." Well, we have sort of gone past imagining losing some of the things we took for granted. Handshakes, normalcy, structure, camaraderie, gathering in groups, having church face to face with folks. Those are things I hadn't even imagined could be lost. So I hadn't even thought of being thankful for them. But prayer is more than just thanks and intercession. It's, you know, and by intercession, I mean asking God for stuff. But prayer is also adoration and contemplation. It's communing with God, opening our hearts to God. And if we say that prayer is only about petition, then we're really not comprehending the full scope of it. We need to turn to God without just thinking about what we need and what we hope for. Sometimes we need to turn inward to discover the energy and the stamina to reach out to other people. And so I'm thinking about how strange this fluid new reality has been, how it's really thrown me off my prayer time has just sort of gone out the window with a lot of other practices with my routine. But I know more than ever I need to examine my inner self and my connection to God. I need to be spending more time in prayer. So I'm hoping that I will be able to find more time to be prayerful, to reflect on my inner feelings, my inner thoughts. And so I hope that you will be able to find time to pray in these strange times. I'm hoping that I will get back into some sort of, won't be my old routine, certainly, but a new routine of praying. And as part of that, I'm hoping to put together tomorrow at 1 o'clock a Zoom prayer meeting. And so if you'd like to be part of, and it would just be a short a brief thing, no more than, say, 20 minutes to half an hour, but a time for us to meet online and be in prayer for one another. So at this time when things seem a little too out of control, I remind myself that God's got this. And because of that, we can say, Federatist, it will all work out in the end. I know it will all work out in the end because our God is a God of life and not of death. That abundant life is there for us when we are ready and willing to accept it. Amen. Well, as we get ready for a time of prayer, I'd like to first of all, I have from Dale Roller a praise. His friend Rick had open heart surgery this week and came through it fine and is home now. And also a praise from me. Thank you, everyone, for the cards and prayers that you have sent my way since the passing of my dad. I appreciate that a great deal. And and among our other prayer concerns, missing the community at Bethany, but thankful for a slower pace. And also a reminder to lift up our shut-ins and especially our healthcare providers who are probably feeling more than a little bit of stress right now. And prayers for those folks who are out there working and the anxieties they might feel at coming in contact with the public. Oh, yes. And we want to be in prayer for our teachers, for whatever they have to face, whether that means doing distance learning or just being out of the classroom. And prayers for parents who are figuring all this out while their kids are not in school. We want to be mindful of all of those folks. And now, let us pray. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for your blessings, for the way that you have graced us in the past, in the present, and in the future. Lord, you are our rock and our source of hope in all things and at all times. Lord, we ask that you especially are with those who are healthcare workers. We pray that you will be with all of those who've been affected by the turn of events that we're seeing going on, continuing to go on right now in this moment. And we ask that you would stretch out your hand and heal those who are ill, that you would keep this virus from spreading, and that you would continue in the midst of all this to give us hope and strength. Place your hand upon all those who have been affected by illness. Restore them to health. Be with those who have lost loved ones and are grieving. We pray for your people throughout the world and ask that you calm our fears. Be with all of those who are on the front lines, who continue to come in contact with the public. Keep them safe. Keep them free of illness. Lord, help them to know that our care and concern is there for them. Remind us, Lord, that we are not alone. Help us to reach out to those who are most isolated. Help us to reach out and aid those who are in need. Strengthen us with joy, even in the midst of uncertainty. Help us to find that peace, that spark of life and hope. Hold us firmly in your hand. Unify us that we may be able, when we come back together, to rejoice in the presence of one another. Unite us in our faith. Give us hope and help us to trust in you in the days ahead and forever after. All this I pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And now, pray with me the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, as we finish up, just a couple of announcements. So if you are interested in taking part in the 1 o'clock prayer service, send me an email, which you can find on our on the Bethany website. We will not be having services next Sunday, as we are continuing to keep social distance. Remember that you can still mail in. We're still having to keep the lights on and pay the bills, so you can mail in your offering or go through e-giving that's on the website. And we also have available kids' activity pages. So if you have kids at home and you want some Bible activity pages, either from the upcoming scriptures or for dealing with things like how not to worry and things like that, email me or the office and we'll get some kids' pages for you that you can print out. So, as always, I am praying for you. Pray for me. I miss you. I love you. And I hope to see you soon.